We have our Bibles tonight. 2 Peter. Praise His name. Wife had a good idea to do a prayer request and testimony slip says one, if you notice that today. Still got a few testimony slips yet left, so we'll use those up. But after that, you just check which one it is. We'll just have one slip. So sometimes it's a little too obvious for you to figure that kind of stuff out. It's like, why don't you do that? I was like, why didn't you tell me that earlier? It's a good idea. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, and besides this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Matthew chapter 5. Very familiar verse here, verse 48, Matthew 5, 48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let's bow our heads tonight. As we approach this word, do you have a need you'd like to lift up and say, Lord, I believe the word will provide it tonight as I come believing. God bless each one. Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your house and to have a revelation, Lord, that it's not a grudge to be in the house of God, but it's an opportunity, Lord, that we can just consecrate ourselves, all of our mind, all of our effort, just to you and to show our love to you and how much we appreciate you tonight, Lord. We come to report for duty, to show what side we're on, what we believe, Lord, is the gospel message that you've brought to us, the message that you restored back that they had in the early ages. It's here again. And we come, Lord, to see you be able to manifest your word as you desire, Lord. We open up our hearts. Lord, may the word come and just discern our hearts, discern our intentions, Lord. If there's anything that's out of cater, we pray that the Holy Spirit would come and fix those things. As we have no ability to do it in ourselves, we're trusting you, Father. Forgive us, Lord, how we failed you. Forgive us for what we've done wrong. Wash us, cleanse us, Lord. Make us fit for the Master's use tonight. I pray you speak through my lips. But God, we pray that you will hear the Word of God into our hearts, Lord, and receive it. And it would change us, Lord, from what we were before we got here, closer into your image, more like you than we were before. We know we have to leave better or worse. I pray that we'll leave better today. Commit the service to your hands. We pray that you'll come, heal the sick, give the needs of the people that's on their heart. I pray that you'll come and provide for each one. We thank you, Lord, that you're faithful, and we know you'll do it, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad to be a believer today. Whew. My, that was a good amen tonight. I'll take that over here in anything. I'll tell you what, that's music to my ears. That's right. How many believes this tonight? Yes. Amen. We think of life and all the toils and struggles, and we still have them. You know, some people think the day you get converted that you're just done with all that, when really it's, you know, it could get harder for you. But because you're doing it with the Lord, it doesn't matter what you're carrying. It's still way lighter than it was before. Just picture you walking with a good 10,000-pound weight on your shoulders. You ain't going nowhere. And that's what it was like under the bondage of sin. We just couldn't do nothing about it. But let somebody come and with a big old magnet over the top of that thing and hold it up for you to where you're only feeling about 5 pounds of it, and we'll go and complain to the Lord that we still feel 5 pounds. Hey, do you remember what it used to be when you didn't have Him? I think it does us good to go back sometimes and say, Lord, I know, especially when you get all stressed and all worked up and things just seem like it's difficult and hard, we need to back it up for a second and say, wait, what was it like before the Lord was here? And guess what? Life still goes on. If people either are Christians or not, you're still going to have to face life. Still a struggle. I'm glad I can do it with the Lord instead of all by myself. Hallelujah. We've been building this perfect image one service at a time with the help of the Lord. How many's been enjoying this? I know I have. Holy Spirit, I apologize that I almost got the sermon there. I've got it, but I wasn't able to get it emailed to Dad to get it online. So it'll be there if anybody wanted to listen. Forgive me. We'll get it. But it is there, so you can listen to it if you desire. Hallelujah. Well, first I'd like to kind of backdrop this thought. I guess I didn't give a title, did I? We're still talking about building that original image up. We're preaching on godliness, and I want to say it like this. We're building sincerity tonight. Sincerity. And I want to show you where I'm getting this from. The first thing I want to make sure we understand is that as we look at these things, and I always like to backdrop it a little bit because I don't want us to go off on a legalistic tangent. I don't want us to go and say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. That isn't what I'm getting at. I'm getting us to the point where we become real Christians, where we stop depending on ourselves. We stop trying to think things up and be too smart for the next fella. We ain't got no business in any of that. A Christian's got one thing to do. Get out of the way.
Amen.
Get out of the way and let Christ live. And why are we teaching this? We want to know who Christ is. He's got a lot of attributes, and we want to know what those things are, and we don't want just half of Him. We want all of Him.
Amen.
That's right. If I have to choose between being a halfway Christian and a sinner, I'm going to do what the Bible said. I might as well be a sinner.
Yep.
That's right, because guess what? I'm going to the same place. There is no halfway Christians. You either are a Christian or you're not. You're either born again or you're not. You either are built up into the image of the Son of God or you're not. That's where we need to find ourselves tonight. But God knew that this image was His requirement. How many can say amen?
Amen.
When He made the sons of God, He said they were going to be in His image.
Yeah.
And Adam came off God's hand in God's image. There was nothing wrong. He looked just like God did.
Yes, he did.
That's right. He spoke like God. He acted like God. He believed the Word like God. He didn't have any blemish in His experience whatsoever. And then the devil got involved. You know, he went there and he tempted the woman. He caused us to fall. And you can't say nothing. You'd have done the same thing. That's right. And Satan was able to mar that image, but God said, I will restore.
Yeah.
You know, you don't thwart the plan of God. And I think we need to get a revelation of that. Well, if I do this, I do that, I'm going to mess this up and I'm not going to be able to witness to my family and I'm just no good and all. And we get on this thing of, again, it's a legalistic approach. You don't realize it, but it is. You're thinking that you can do something about this. We talk about applying the token. A lot of times we think that means I go hand them a book and blast them about how they're living. That ain't what I'm talking about. Applying the token is getting yourself out of the way and say, God, Your promise is in the Word. I believe it. I've applied it to my heart. I'm a vessel for that Word to come through.
Amen.
That's right. And a lot of times we need to learn to preach without our mouths. That's right. That's real preaching. Give me a life centered around God. Give me somebody that just shows appreciation to Jesus Christ. Show me somebody that walks sincere. Wow. And the more I've thought about this, even just today, sincerity is such a rare thing to find. You can't find people, and I'm not even just talking Christianity now. I just mean that will even put their heart and effort behind anything, unless it's worthless. For some, it just shows you how deluded the world's gotten now. My goodness, if you tell them that if they don't graduate high school, they're never going to get a job, they're never going to go to college, they're never going to, and especially in this age, you ain't got a high school diploma, you ain't marketable, you can't hardly work at McDonald's. That's right, that's the truth. And you tell them these things about real life, and they say, well, that don't matter, I don't really care too much, I'll take another zero. But then you tell them, hey, you know, if you get on this server and pay this much money and get with these guys and their group on this video game, we'll be number 3 in the world. Nobody knows that you're JK522 from Defiance, Ohio on that internet game. It doesn't matter. But they'll spend their lives and hours and toil and struggle and study it and get online and figure out about this guy and how he did it this way and put their whole life into something that's worthless. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad we can come back and find some real sincerity tonight. Don't act like what I'm preaching is a hopeless goal. If you feel that way, chances are you're trying to approach it the wrong way.
Amen.
Because you're exactly right. You and your frailty and your mistakes and in your humanity and in our sinful condition that we are in, if you take an image of the Son of God and look at Him and how he lived and how he let people push him aside and didn't worry about it. How he didn't stress out about his taxes, but when it came time, the Holy Spirit told him to go fish for a fish and get a coin out of its mouth. Hallelujah. Who came up to a maniac and instead of being mad about him and saying what sins he must have done, he took control of the situation and actually helped somebody. That's right. And when the whole world wanted him dead, instead of beating him to snot like we would, and you can do it with the scriptures now and talk about how everybody's the devil and everything else, and that ain't what he did. He lived for others. He gave his life for those that would never even blink an eye to help him. Amen. And we look at that and say, well, mercy. Whew, I don't know if I can do that. And you're right. You can't. You can't. You might as well quit trying to do it in some legalistic manner, in some religious manner. It won't get you nowhere. And actually, you'll just get, as the prophet said, enough religion to make yourself miserable.
Amen.
Huh. And Brother Branham, he's talking, I'm going to quote a lot from this end time evangelism I've been reading, but he was talking about how, you know, some of the preachers get on him because he keeps telling them the coming of the Lord's coming soon. It's coming soon. And he says, getting everybody scared. He's like, what are you talking about? Why are you getting scared? Sure. If you're a Christian, the coming of the Lord is the greatest thing you could ever have. Because we can go home. We can be done with this. That shows you where your affections lie. If your affections lie on things of the earth, you don't want the coming of the Lord. Why? Because it's going to burn it all up. That's right. And that's why Jesus said, don't put where moth and rust does corrupt. I'm glad he said rust, so we quit putting, you know, all our lives into our vehicles, right? Because it don't matter. I don't care how much you baby something here in Northwest Ohio. It's going to get rust one day. Unless you just don't drive the thing. And then why even have it? You know, why even bother? But moth and rust will corrupt this, but I got a body somewhere.
Amen.
That's so fast. I don't need a car no more. Hey, I can travel without even moving my legs. I can just think it and I'll be over there. You might believe that. I know I do. That's what the prophet said. God knew that we would need the Word to get us back to being what we ought to be. That there was no way for us to do it in this manner. That's why when the Israel sought after a law, God rebuked them for it. He said, why are you doing this? You know, you were under grace. I was able to provide for it. And if you watch, even in their complainings before they asked for a law, even in their mistakes, God was merciful to them. God still poured out blessings. God still helped them. But the second they asked for a law, now they had to reap for everything they did. And thousands died. Millions died. He'd bring quail and just flutter it to where they were almost swimming in the stuff, and then later all these people would be dead from it. Come on now. Why? Because they wanted a law. God don't want that. I don't think we're going to go to heaven. And He's going to go there and hand you a rule list and say, this is what we're going to do here. It's the law of love. We're going to be so in love with Him, and so in love with each other, because we already done built this character before we got there, that we won't need a law no more, because we'll be a law unto ourselves, as the Bible said, because we'll automatically walk in holiness. You ain't got to tell a man that loves another man to not go cheat on him with his wife. Why? Because he loves that man, or he loves the woman, and he knows that that's just going to cause problems. That's right. And that never would have, that would, if perfect love would have stayed in the Garden of Eden, there never would have been sin in the first place. And it's the greatest weapon ever given to the church, is showing divine love to someone else.
Right.
Hallelujah. God knew we would need the Word back to become the sons of God that we had to be. That's why when it makes sense now, and Brother Branham says that every age did receive the Holy Ghost. How many believes that? Luther got the baptism of the Holy Ghost the same as we did. But why couldn't they live to a certain life is because they only had so much Word to even manifest. It was not restored yet. It was in the process of being restored, which was just a reformation. And if you try to reform when we're supposed to be restored, it ain't going to work no more. We're long past that. So it's time for us to get our eyes off all that and forget about that. What does God call me to be in this day? That's what I know I'm predestinated to be, and I shouldn't settle for nothing less.
Right. Amen.
We just let the devil make us whatever. He just hand you a temper and you just run with it. No, God told me I had patience.
Right.
Say, well, I don't know if I can. You already got it. You might as well just yield to it. And the message came. What did the message come for? To restore us to where we believe the Word. That's right. And we know it's not just some hypothetical thing. It's not just a good thought. That Word was written because I was coming.
Amen.
That's right. That I am that word made flesh today. When it talked about a bride walking step in step, that was me.
Amen.
When it talked about those voices shouting over there saying, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, that was me saying that. And that's why I'm here today doing it too. Don't tell me you're shouting hallelujah over there and you can't even muster up enough words to spit a little bit once in a while. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Just remember what He's done for us tonight and it just how He's healed us even right here. I'm feeling better than I did before we got here. Today was Wednesday, man. I'll tell you what. Goodness gracious, it was Wednesday. Whew. But we're here. And I got the victory. Why? Because you're good, brother? No, because praise be to God. Thanks be to God who gave me the victory. And that's why I've got it now, because I believe it. End time evangelism. Brother Branham, in this message I've been reading, he's talking about how we should evangelize in the end time. And I hate to break it to some people, but I don't think a lot of people believe this. I think they kind of got their own idea of what we ought to be doing. But this is what the prophet said. And this is what the voice they were saying over there when they said we're on that you're preaching what Paul was preaching. So I'm going to stay with that. And people don't like that, and they think, well, we got this idea. That's fine. You can have all that you want. It's your Christian or your Christian rights already laid down. You're supposed to give that all up and take on His word. But you're American. You can believe what you want to. I'm not going to get in your business if you don't want me involved. But I love you enough to I love you too much to just sit back and say nothing about it. All right? If you're going to live in sin, I love you enough to say something. Now, if you reject, you know what the Bible says, if a man be in a fault, you take him privately, hopefully he'll hear you. And it'll be done. If he don't, you know, maybe there's some other brothers who know something about it. We ought to all not go blast him, not go tell him how demon-possessed he is, but try to get him back. But if you won't accept that, you know what the Bible says. This is Christianity 101. You can't do nothing. Treat him like he's an unbeliever. You don't hold him to no standard then. I don't hold a Christian or a sinner to a standard. I see a Christian smoking a cigarette, or not Christian, a sinner smoking a cigarette, I don't think nothing of it. Why? Because he's a heathen, he's a publican, he's not a believer. You see what I'm saying now? So you don't need to get all worked up about it because if you've presented the word, that's all you can do. That's the end time evangelism we're supposed to be doing. It's taking this word and preaching it and living it and believing it. And if they don't respond, that ain't your problem. If the word, which is Jesus Christ, can't produce it, you can't. That's right. All right, let me read you some of this now. The end time evangelism. The end time evangelist message is from Malachi 4. It's a restoring. The message and messenger both will have to be a restoration of the faith. Let me skip down. And in Malachi 4 for the church age, he said, I send to you Elijah before that day. Now that couldn't have been John because the world wasn't burned up back there. And the righteous walk out upon the ashes of the wicked. No, it's this age. A message that'll go forth, that'll what? Restore the faith to the people. The church today, that's out of all these different corruptions and a putrefied sword body of denomination, back to a living faith and a living God. The message has been going on for years. That's right. It's time now that we should receive and believe the end time evangelism is to restore. That the word wasn't given to me to have a halfway victorious experience. That the word wasn't restored back to me to just have a little joy, a little peace, and just let it flutter around with anything of toil of life. No, it was supposed to give me a rock. That no matter what the winds blow, no matter what happens in my life, nothing can take this from me. Let me read you another one a little bit further down. But I will restore. She's still coming. Now what does it do in the evening time? There will not be an organization. There'll be a top. Where does the fruit ripen at first? In the top. Why? The sun hits it. And in the evening time, the seeds are planted now for an evening time bride tree. When the tree of life returns back to the bride tree. You see, and the evening lights has come out now to water and ripen that fruit that's been on the tree that's been planted. The seeds are sown, see, the evening time. So the evening time evangelism will be the mark of Malachi 4 to restore the faith of the people back to the faith of the fathers. Yes, sir. Back to the building stones. See, not just, you know, I'm just a great Christian. No. You are supposed to be a building stone. You're supposed to be put into a body. You are not a dead stone. We're not talking about a building that just sits there. Remember, what's the building of God? A man. And that man was Jesus Christ. A body hast thou prepared me. And the bride of Christ is the body of Christ. And you are a lively stone. Amen. You are alive. The Holy Ghost comes. It quickens you to a life. So you're supposed to be a stone that's alive.
Amen.
That is used as the house for God to dwell in.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the message was sent to do. Bring us back to that same life that we were before. But I'm here to tell you, if you want somebody to do your will, you've got to break theirs first. All right, now listen, you might not understand what I'm getting at, but for us to do the will of God, our will has to break first.
Amen.
You all heard my son in here. I don't have to tell you how old he is. He's 2. That's right. He's in the process now where he wants to do his will. And he has to learn, and it might take a little bit longer than others, that his will is not always going to be daddy's will. And daddy's will is going to win. That's right. And people might think you're a brute or mean or whatever, but that's what I think is parenting. Is as long as I'm yielding myself to, that's the head of the house now. The head of the house is supposed to be yielded to God so that my will is not my will. I've surrendered my carnal will to his will. So that trickles down to the rest of the family now. And I'll say it like this, my children's Holy Ghost is daddy and mommy until he gets it. That's right. Hallelujah. So when we come to this, we've got to understand this is going to be the greatest fight you ever fought, is you battling out your old will away so that this life, this character can be built in you. That's right. Now before we get building anything again, and I try to waste too much time, and I ain't wasting, we're preaching the Word of God. That's right. Hallelujah. Brother Bram's talking about all that, he's saying time evangelism again. He's talking about how they make decisions and decisions and decisions, and what good is that doing, and joining church and all these things. And he says this, "What now, isn't that the truth now? Decisions, join a church. You leave the Methodist church and come join us, the Baptist. Or you leave the Baptist and come join us, the Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, take it all. See, member, decisions, decisions. What good is the stones if you haven't got a stonemason to shape them out? Confessions is stones. So people confess that they're Christians and believers. Peter said his confession. Jesus said, thou art Peter, a little stone. But what good is a stone if there isn't a stonemason there to shape him into a son of God? You're just piling up a bunch of rocks. I wonder how many rocks we just piled up because they played heavy on the plate and their women decided to go ahead and put dresses on and look like everybody else so we can say we got the biggest church around here. Come on now. And not worried about getting in their lives and telling them that they're sinning and living in adultery. You'd be surprised how many times that stuff even sneaks behind the pulpit. And we just kind of, you know, we don't get things under the blood because under the blood would bring it out and we'd ask forgiveness and get it out. We sweep it under the rug and we just pretend like nothing ever happened. But there's always an all-remembering God. I'm here to tell you, every sin that you do outside the blood is remembered.
Amen.
Now be the Christian. Could be the Christian tonight. Did you put your sins under the blood?
Amen.
None of those are remembered.
Right.
They never existed.
Amen.
That's right, because before you committed them, the bleach was already there.
Amen.
So before they got to the eternal God, they hit a bleach.
Amen.
And they were eradicated.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
That's where our faith ought to rest in tonight. You're just piling up a bunch of rocks. Is that right? It isn't doing a bit of good. See, the water that's supposed to be doing good, the water weareth away the stone. See, that's right. That's the people. What good is stones if you haven't got a true stonemason with a good sharp tool to shape him into the fitting place in the house of God? Just want to ask you, what good's the decisions? What's good putting your name on the book? What good is come join the church if the stonemason isn't there that'll shape that and make them quit this and that and cut them and make them over there this way and square them up and make them like the Christians that sit in the house of God with signs following the believers?
Amen.
That's end time evangelism. Taking the stones and shaping them, see? What good would the stones be if you just pile them up? Let them lay where they're at. Might do a little bit better out there than they would piling them up together. They might be needed out there and none of them out there. See, that's right. Stone is no good without a stonemason. And this is what I'm trying to get to. Jesus counts character, not members.
Amen.
You know that? He counts character. So as much as we like to have a lot of people and a lot of souls and things like that, we have to understand this is the end time. There's only so many going to come. And you ain't going to call them. The Father will call every one of them.
Amen.
What is our goal? And not just the preacher now. Look, that's not what we're trying to do. I'm not trying to be a stonemason tonight. Don't misinterpret what Brother Branham's saying. He's saying we need to get them to the stonemason. The stonemason is Jesus Christ. And he's only given to the believer through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You must be born again. Then the stonemason gets in the believer and it will shape them into Christians. But how can people receive the Holy Ghost if we don't tell them they need it? How can they receive the Holy Ghost if they don't even believe in it? That's why these things had to be restored. We had to have baptism restored back. We had to have the power of God restored back. We had to believe all the Word, or you can't get the results of all the Word. That's right. We're to lead the evangelism of our Word of God is to bring souls back to Jesus Christ so that He can be the stonemason and He can get into the heart. And we'll get into some more quotes here and begin to shape off this or that. And he does that behind the pulpit now too. But it ain't Brother Andrew that's shaping it out of your lives. He comes and he speaks it. But because you've got him on the inside, it responds to that and it shaves off that sin.
Amen.
Glory to God. And we've been building up this image from the ground up. You've got to have faith. You've got to have the Holy Ghost in you. You've got to have somebody to cut the rest of the building outright. You can't do it. God doesn't require us to. He knows we can't. So He gives us the gift, the seed of faith by the gift of God. Then He comes by another gift, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and quickens that seed to life. So it'll live. But everything you'll ever need was already in there. You don't got to go somewhere else. You ain't got to be at this revival. It's already in the believer. Now it's quickened to life. Now it needs to grow. And this is where we, as Christians, have to be honest with our experience. You will find people who try to have patience ain't got a lick of faith. There is no way to get built up there if you ain't got down here. If you don't believe the Word, how are you going to be patient with God? How did Abraham get patience? Because he believed it. I don't care if it takes 25 years. I believe it anyhow. And it gave him strength, didn't it? In believing it, he had strength to endure when the doubts would come. Then he built enough knowledge to know that God said it. He's able to perform it.
Right.
Then that got him to build up some temperance where he didn't speak contrary, but he spoke the Word. And then it would produce a patient experience. And as we were preaching on Sunday about patience, that is a break point for many Christians. And I said Christians now. They don't like to break through that one. They don't like to. They say, God, that's enough. I'll keep my mouth shut, but don't give me a real patient in my heart. What's the difference? Well, see, if you're just a legalist, you might not say it, but you don't know how to let it go. But if you'll gain patience, you realize God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And He's working on my brother the same way. And I was, you know, I'm probably worse than him right now because I'm sitting here having these thoughts. But even if I wasn't, I knew I used to be. And what if somebody would have judged me back there by the standard I'm trying to hold now? See, there's only one judge. It's Him. That's where the Bible's talking about, judge not lest ye be judged. It's trying to compare ourselves with ourselves, and I'm here, they should be there, they're this long, they should. You don't have no business in none of that. But you do judge devils now. That's the difference. We don't go all the way to the other side where you can't say nothing about nothing. And we're not supposed to judge. If you got a devil, I'm going to tell you. Why? Because I love you enough to not let him try to kill you. And I've got authority that he don't have. I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. But the only way, now look, we're building this image. So you say, God, I've got to know where I'm at. I've got to know where I need to be. And in this age, you'll be a son of God. You're either going to manifest the son of God or daughter of God, or you're not going to. That's what we say. Well, do I necessarily have to grow to this? Well, the Holy Ghost, the born again experience seals us in. I'm not taking away from that. But in this age, to be sealed into the body, and to prove that, God will manifest the adopted sons
Amen.
Of God.
Exactly.
He wasn't able to do that in other ages. Do we understand this? They only could grow so high. But in this age, there's no excuse. God was winking at ignorance, but it's done. There is none. It's completely restored to us. So for you, you're, like I said, when you're born again, you are sealed in. It adopts you into the body of Christ. That's what the Bible's talking about. But we are to grow and to manifest into something. Amen. And God does adopt sons of God. If I'm not adopted to be a pastor, what in the world am I doing back here? If I'm still growing to become one, then why am I doing it already? God don't work that way. He builds it up to where it's ready, then He sends it out. He doesn't do it the other way. God help us to not get that in our experience. I've seen churches try to do that stuff with deacons. We'll make them a deacon, then we'll finally train them how to be one. No, back it up. He's either already one, and now we'll put him in position because the Holy Spirit told us to. Look, that's what they did.
Amen.
He said, go out and find men. Not go out and make men full of faith. Amen. Go out and make men full of Holy Ghost and wisdom. No, go find me some.
Right. Amen.
Go find me some men already full of faith.
Right.
Full of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
They found a few.
Yeah.
Out of 3,000, they got 7. But see, that's what they needed. God provided. I'm so glad He provided Stephen. How many's been encouraged by Stephen's testimony in the Bible? Sure, a man that just was a deacon, but he was faithful to his calling.
That's right.
That's right. He actually ended up dying for that, but he's the first Christian martyr I can think of, actually, besides Christ. I mean, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we're building up this image, and when we begin to build patience, godliness is what the Bible says next. And I'm going to read you some quotes to Brother Branham. And When Brother Branham, and he actually says it here, that he said, I looked up 4 or 5 dictionaries and I couldn't find it. He said, the only thing I could find was to be like God. And it does absolutely mean that. So I decided, well, let me go see what I can find. So I went and I found the Strong's number, and I found some definitions that were on there. And I'm going to read you what it says. It's not contrary, I'm just trying to supplement. Is that all right? It's Thayer's definition of godliness. It says reverence, respect, piety towards God, or sincerity. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, to be like God, you better be sincere.
Yes.
You're going to tell me God ain't sincere? He's the most sincere man I've ever... You know how sincere God is? He doesn't do one thing without weighing out the purpose, without putting His all into it. That's what we're trying to build up. But if you ain't got no patience, you're not going to be able to do that. Because you're not going to endure to the end. That's why we're all the way up to here. It's the sanctifying part of a Christian's life. I understand we are supposed to be sanctified to get the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about as we grow in the Lord, we should always be sanctifying. We should always be dedicating ourselves back to the Lord. And as Satan tries to corrupt us, we cast that out. And we say, no, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to give Him my whole heart. I'm going to reverence His Word. That's right. And that goes to respecting one another. That goes to respecting the Bible even itself. That goes to respecting the message and the Word of God. You know, when you see a man of God and people want to make Brother Branham's picture and things, that's dangerous ground. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've never seen anybody come back that did stuff like that. Because I believe it's part of Hebrews 6 where it says you've sealed yourself out. But God is calling us to a reverent experience, a sincere experience. To where we believe God, to where it actually engulfs our emotions. We don't have to put it on. Our heart is so into it that the Word causes me to have sympathy.
Amen.
The Word causes me to love. Do you understand? This is where we're starting to rubber meets the road, man. This is where you either got it or you don't.
Sure.
Proverbs 9:10, you all know this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, we understand, is a respect towards God. God never wants us to fear like the devil would make us fear. He never made man that way.
Right.
He made man to fellowship with.
Amen.
But He did want man to respect Him. He's still the Creator. All right? He's still the ruler. That's right. Now, I know He's my husband, but just like Esther, I'm still going to respect the King. I'm not just going to barge right on in there.
Right.
I'm going to come the way the Word said.
Amen.
Sincere. And we can't even get enough sincerity to get up and pray once in a while. God help us. Come on now. And I say you, maybe it applies to you, maybe it don't, but that's the way I believe in preaching. You just go ahead and say it. We need to be sincere. We need to be to the point where it's like I said, it engulfs our emotions. We don't create emotions, it's just what it is. We care so much about souls, it gets us praying. We care so much about the Word that we don't walk haphazardly in life. We don't just spout off things. We think about what it will do to the testimony of Jesus Christ. You ever had those times where you wish you weren't a Christian so you didn't bring Him reproach? I've had that happen before. Or I go and get an attitude and I said, oh my. Or at least hope they don't know I'm a Christian. I'll say it like that. So that way, you know, just take that. I'll take that one. Don't put that on Christ. That ain't what a Christian ought to be. But as a Christian, you know what to do? Go repent. That's the only way. Look, Brother Branham had that happen. How many knows that? The FBI calling him, or the IRS or whatever, bugging him. And he said, I'm going out the back. Meet him, tell him I'm gone. That's right. And it broke him down his heart. He went and he made that thing right. And the man, you ever hear what the man said? He said, Brother Branham, I thought a lot about you before, but I think of you 10 times, the man now. Why? Because you can't find sincerity. Now, you need to learn to make God's sincerity your judge. God's sincerity. You say, well, what does that mean, Brother Andrew? How many times have you had something where you know carnally, in your mind, logically, that it doesn't matter? Nobody knows. Nobody probably cares. Something on the inside says, I did wrong. That's the sincerity we need to be called to. Who is your one judge? So that Holy Ghost on the inside that checked you and said, I understand, they won't catch you. And there's nothing in the law against that and this or that. But you know, my word don't put up with that. But see, if you ain't built up, you'll just push that thought right out and just keep on going. If you're a Christian, it will come back. I'm here to tell you. You don't not overcome trials as Christians. You will overcome it. And we think, oh, what a glory. Well, not if you don't want to win. And you don't mind the devil letting you get on with the things that you want to do. And you keep watching it come back around. And come back around. Come back around. I'm here to tell you the problem. You're not sincere enough yet. Right. And what produces that? You need enough faith to get to where you believe this word is the only truth. Because you look at signs of the time. What am I trying to say? That the world is falling apart. There's souls dying on every side. But see how easy it is for us to get away from the sincerity. And we don't pray for people no more. Right. Come on. Don't love them like we ought to. We don't give them even a chance because our lives aren't salty enough for them to thirst. Amen. That's what we're talking about, real sons of God now. The ones that aren't afraid to be salty. That doesn't mean a coward now. It means you stand up for the word. Amen. What made many people believe Paul? And he almost convinced even governors.
That's right.
Kings! Said, you almost made me a Christian. Another one said, well, that was pretty good, but I'll have to hear you tomorrow. Well, tomorrow don't come. Because there's only one day of salvation. How many knows what day that is? It's today. So if you don't receive it today, you ain't getting it tomorrow. And you definitely won't get salvation yesterday. You get it today. Hallelujah. God has called us to this. He has equipped us to do it. So we don't need to act again like we can never be this sincere. I can never do this because I've had too much trouble with it. Do you understand that the prophet got rebuked for not being sincere enough? I'm going to bring that out here a little bit, but let me go back. Statue of Perfect Man, just listen to this now. Fifthly, add godliness. Oh my, godliness to be added. What does godliness mean? I looked in 4 or 5 dictionaries and couldn't find what it meant. Finally, I was down at Brother Jeffrey's there, and we found it in a dictionary. Godliness means to be like God. Oh my. After you got faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, then be like God. Whew. You say, I can't do that, Brother Branham. Oh, yes, you can. Let me just read, and that's why I opened with this scripture today. Let me read you a few scriptures here, just a minute. Matthew 5:48. We'll take this one and see what it sounds like. Matthew 5:48, and see if you're supposed to be like God. You know the Bible says ye are gods? Jesus said so. Why? All the virtue. All the things that's in God is in you.
Yes.
Matthew 5:48. Be ye, Jesus speaking in the Beatitudes, be ye therefore, P-E-R-F-E-C-T. What's that? Perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You got way up here now before you're asked to do that. You see how we need to be patient even with ourselves. Lord, you're building me. I'm not building myself. Well, I just don't think I'm there yet. Well, look, be faithful what you are. That's what we need to do. We need to give our heart into what we can do now. I see everybody will be sincere if they're the preacher, right? Everybody expects the pastor to pray every day and read his Bible and to get to church on time and to not miss services. But bless God, I'm not the pastor. I'm not required all that. That shows you where you're at. You're not up here at sincerity, that's for sure. You're down somewhere else.
And God will never use a man that's not up there before he gets behind the pulpit, because he'll do what the Bible says. He's a novice. And the devil will come and lift him up in pride, and you might as well take that and burn it down to the ground, because that's what pride will do. Glory to God. We are preaching tonight. You got way up here now before you're asked to do that. All these things has to be added first. Then when you get up here, he's asked you now to be perfect. Godliness, sons and daughters of God. That's right. Skipping down a little bit. That's godliness. When he was smite on one side of his face, he turned the other. When he was spoken rough to, he didn't speak back. He didn't rile back. See, godliness, godly, always looking for one thing. I always do that which pleases the Father.
Amen.
See, yes, sir, always. That's godliness, see. After you've done come here, here, to here, to here, now you're coming to the full stature of a son of God. But you've got to have this plus this, and he's going down. And you can't even start till you get this.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Now remember, the blackbird with peacock feathers, don't forget him, see. Don't try to add it until you're actually born again. Because it won't work. You can't make it work. It'll come to this here or here. It'll crumble somewhere. But when you get down here, a genuine born again dove, then you don't add nothing. It adds to you, see. Comes on up. All right. Coming into perfection now. All right. This is maybe my idea here. But I believe that this is why many gifts of the Spirit, many callings of God, don't seem to get nowhere. I believe they're there. I actually have to, right? The Bible says that. And Brother Branham said they're in every local assembly. So I believe we ought to see them. And not just kind of once or twice in a sporadic occasion. How often do you expect me to be anointed to preach? Just once or twice, and the rest of it we just kind of float by? We ought to be anointed all the time. But see, if you're not built up into the character to where God can use you, you understand now. If you ain't got any patience, oh my, who knows what you might prophesy. If you're not sincere about it, you might just blow off any old thing. Brother Branham said that that's what happened. He said they let the gifts go for a while. You can go look this up. He said we let it go for a while, and half that stuff never even happened. He said, why can't we hardly believe in speaking in tongues? Because there's just too much bogus out there anymore. We don't know what's right and what's wrong. Why? A lack of sincerity. A lack of making sure we're right with God. That's absolutely right. But a man that's been built up, then God can use him. I believe this is the adoption's message right here. How do you walk as a son of God? By letting these things live in you.
Amen.
That's right. And rejecting other things, and let God build you up, and then he can use you. I don't think you should be born again, preach tomorrow. I don't think you should be born again and just prophesying tomorrow. There should be some growth taking place. But you give me a man that's whole heart into it, it don't take very long. I'll tell you that right now. I didn't say don't pray for the sick or something. You go do that. Mark 16 said, these signs will follow them that believe. You believe, go do that.
Amen.
But when it comes to ministering back to the body and to be that son of God that you're supposed to be, you've got to have character to go with it. Because
right.
That's a big power and a big responsibility to go with that. Brother Branham, we understand, even he himself grew in the Lord. I was just listening to a sermon. I can't tell you the title. But he was talking about how back in the day, he said, when I was a Baptist, if a brother wasn't a Baptist, he was out.
Uh-huh.
Brother made a mistake, he didn't have a chance, he was done. Said, then I began to grow in the Lord a little while, and I realized that the blanket stretched over a little bit, keep him warm too. Why? Because he grew in the Lord. That's why we've got to get this idea that other men don't go through like passions like us. That's why the Bible said that. I believe that was for our age. He said Elijah was a man of like passions. Or it might be Elisha, but either way, it's the same anointing. It's a man of like passions. You mean he wouldn't struggle like I did? Yes, he did. That's right. That's why men just baffled at Brother Branham, because they'd go and be with him normally, and he's just a man. Yeah, you're right. He's not a God like you think a divine being who would just stand there with his arms folded. And you know what? Neither is God. He's not like that. He's not Zeus and all these things. He's Jesus Christ. He's a man who ain't afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not a king that's afraid to get out of his palace. He actually became the servant of all servants.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God built up. I'm just going to wrap it up on this. I hope that's okay. I don't mean to be too short or too long. God was building his prophet up because he had one purpose. Malachi 4. That's why Brother Branham came to earth, was to fulfill Malachi 4.
That's the reason you came to earth, was to fulfill Malachi 4. A little bit different part of it, but you're still fulfilling it.
Amen.
That's right. Revelation 10:7. Well, what about 8 through 11? That's right. The bride that hears the word and says, go prophesy again.
Uh-huh.
Amen. So you're in the word too. So we have to be built up and manifest this word. I'll go back to Jesus for a minute. When Jesus came time for his ministry, now Jesus didn't have to be born again like you and I. He was perfect. He was just quickened. He wasn't converted like we would say. He was just quickened to where the power of God was now on. When did that happen? At River Jordan, when he got baptized. What did the voice say? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That's right. I believe he was adopted at that point for his earthly ministry. That's why he starts healing the sick, casting out devils, and the power of God rested on him. He was still the Word anyways. That's why he was rebuking organizations. That's why he told his mom and dad that they were wrong. He was about his father's business because he was still the Word. But then he became the anointed Word. I believe that. He didn't just become the Lord. He was always the Lord, but now he was the anointed one. And that's what happened to you and I when we got the Holy Ghost. You were still a son of God down in there. You were. But we needed something to get that black off. He didn't have to worry about that. It just came right now. But we needed a conversion. And that's why the blood had to come. And he took our place so that way that black would get off and we'd be quickened just like he was.
Amen.
But there came a day when Jesus went onto a hill.
Yeah.
And he turned to his disciples. And his face shone like the sun. Hallelujah. And remember, Peter got all excited. Let's build us 3 tabernacles. I got the revelation. And then God winked at his ignorance and brought the revelation. Pushed his son forward. And made everything else disappear. There ain't no Moses and Elijah in this. This is about my son. He said the same thing he said before. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. And it wasn't but no time hardly after that, Jesus was on his way to the cross. Brother Branham preached for years and years and years. He went under that first gift. Boom, here it come. Second one, right after that. Imagine being him. See, that's why we got to quit being carnal. He got it right away when the angel told him. And it wasn't, but I think 2 or 3 years later, he started discerning thoughts and hints of the heart. It took like another 20-something years before that third one showed up. God was getting him ready for it. I mean, we know of the vision of the brown bear. How many knows of this? Discrepancies that people want to come up with. Brother Branham specifically tells us that he missed the vision. That he should have been with these other brothers, but he felt bad, and he went with these other guys. And they saw the brown bear. He said it was twice as big as that other grizzly you killed. He said he got as wide as a ghost. Eddie Bisco, I believe, is the one that said this. He got as wide as a ghost. He knew he had missed it. And it rained and rained and rained, and he told Brother Eddie, I'm the Jonah on this trip. Why? Because when this visitation came, he couldn't miss this. When those angels would come to open the seals, he couldn't miss that. That's what his whole life was for. And when God got ready to use him to bring the seals, put something in his hand to make sure he could do it.
Amen.
Sharp two-edged sword.
That's right.
Amen.
Go open the seals. Hallelujah. I believe he was adopted son of God when he was born again, just like all of us. But there's still a point where you come to that, where you are fulfilling your purpose for being here.
Amen.
Now, we've got things we ought to do every day, and that's what we're called to do. He had an earthly ministry. Remember, he still healed the sick. He still prayed for the sick. He still discerned in all things. But he said, it's changing. It's changing. He kept warning him. I know something's coming. And, he didn't talk about it until about 62 times. He said, there's just something going to happen. And here it comes. And the seals were open. Isn't that right? And right before this, this is coming out of, this is actually 61, toward the end of 61 into 62. Brother Branham has a vision. And I'm just going to read tonight. Can you give me, it's probably the longest quote I've ever tried to read in a sermon. So just listen up now. You might know this. It's out of Paradox 61. Then as I sat there a little bit beside of this chair, then all of a sudden, here it come back again. Then I knew then that it was a vision. And then when I come into the vision again, it seemed that I was lifted up and sitting on a highway, a narrow highway, with some brother. I never knew who the brother was. I looked around and I said, now I'm sure and know this is vision. The Lord God is here. And seemed like everybody was afraid. I said, what's everybody so afraid of? And a voice came and said, there's such danger in these days. There's a great hideous thing that's death when it strikes you. And I heard the weeds mashing down, and I looked, and here come a huge monster snake crawling through the weeds. I thought, now, knowing this is a vision, then I shall see what this animal or this beast is.
And he crawled up on the highway. And as soon as I got a sight of him, I knew it was a mamba. Now, the mamba is an African snake, which is the most deadly bite of all there is. There's nothing as poison as a mamba. And the snake, of course, represents sin, death, see? And here he was on the highway. I thought, well, this is it. So I looked at him, and he looked angry at me. Devil look angry at you, too. And he licked his tongue, and here he come. But when he got right close to me, he would run up fast, and then he would get slower and slower and just quiver and stop. And then something would hold him off. He couldn't bite me. That ain't just because he's a prophet now. It's because he was a son of God.
That's right.
That's right. Walking in as he ought to be. That's right. Believing. And he turned around the other side and tried to approach from this side. And he couldn't. And he'd get back and get a start and wish right toward me, get slower and slower and slower, and then to a stop. And then just shake like that and move back. He couldn't strike me, even from the back to the left. That's right, you're sealed in. You can't get in. Then he turned and looked at my friend. Away, he went after my friend. And I see my friend just jumping in the air and over him and over him trying. And the thing was striking at him. I thought, oh, if he ever gets hit, it'll be instant death. No wonder everybody's so scared, because when this thing hits you, it's an instant death. And it's just striking at him like that, and I threw my hands up. I said, oh God, have mercy on my brother. I said, if that serpent ever strikes him, it'll kill him. And just then the serpent turned to me when I said that and looked at me again. And a voice came from heaven above me and said, you have been given power to bind him, the worst or any. And I said, well, God, what must I do? He said, there's one thing you must do. You must be more sincere. See, you must be more sincere. He didn't go grovel in the corner and cry and say, well, I guess I'm just a failure. He took the approach that we ought to take by faith. He said, I said, well, God, forgive me of my unsincerity and let me have sincerity. And when I raised up my hands to him again, there was a great something came over me and just lifted me up. Seemed like my whole body was charged with something. And I looked at that serpent, and then he started towards me, and he couldn't do it yet. And I said, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you. And the serpent, a blue smoke flew out of him, and he curled up and made like that sign like an S, a capital S made backwards, A and a sign. That and sign is what he's talking about. And means bind this one in anything below him, because he was the worst. Blue smoke fell out of him, and his tail choked his own self to death around his head when he made this backwards S like that sign, like a conjunction, you see, choked it to death. And the brother was free, and I went over and mashed on it. That's right. I said, now I've got to find out about this because it's a vision. And I hit on the thing, and it turned like that, looked like a handle or a glass handle on a pitcher. And it was just made of solid crystal. And I said, think of that, how quick. The blue smoke was life, and everything that left it, all the elements, it turned it to glass. And then just a voice came again and said, you can unbind him also. So I said, then Satan, that I might know, I unbind you. And when it did, he started coming to life again, wiggling. And I said, I bind you back in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. And when it did, the smoke flew out of him again. He choked himself right back again and turned to crystal. And then when he did that, the voice said, now you must be more sincere than what you are to do this. What a calling. Isn't that right? You think of the prophet of God, and I'm not trying to compare men to men, but I think too many of us would fall short to just his sincerity up to this point. Much less for the Lord to come and say, you need to be more sincere. Prophet's the one that said he was calling them Ricky and Ricketta and everything, and the Holy Spirit told him to quit doing that. And then later on, when he got the guy out of his heart and he was actually preaching towards the devils instead of those people, he started doing it again. That's right. Why did he leave preaching for so long? He said, I lost my love for the people. Where he ought to have been up here, we'll get to that here shortly, up here in the love of God, he had lost that. And he knew, I am not fit to try to preach the gospel if I don't love my fellow man. You can't do anything for him if you don't. That's exactly right. What was the problem? We had to get godliness built up so we could build on top of it. You had to be more sincere. That isn't an impossibility. What did the prophet do to get it? Lord, forgive me of my own sincerity and make me more sincere. Amen. And right after that, he was binding the devil. He had enough power to unbind the devil. Why was he doing it? For himself? He didn't have to worry about himself. Every time that snake tried to come after him, couldn't even get close. Let your faith stay built up. That snake can't harm you. That devil can't harm you. That depression, all that, whatever the devil tries to bring, it can't touch you. You're sealed in. But your sinner buddy out there, that's right, the man that you want to see get saved. You know, it ain't just death as we would think of a snake. It is spiritual death walking around to where it'll get something in his mind so corrupted that even the Word of God can't change him. How? They'll get their mind seared. And don't get so predestinated where you don't witness no more. All right? We don't know who is and who isn't, but we have power to bind that devil. Absolutely. How? By being more sincere. Amen. Now let me finish this, and then we'll close it up. Boy said, now you must be more sincere than you are to do this. Then it left me, and I was standing in the room. A few minutes, I heard a clock go off and the wife getting up. That's just the Lord, isn't it? When did he have this vision? Got up praying before everybody else got up. Wonder how many visions we'd have if we just get up and have faith that the Lord wants to talk to us in the morning. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and praise Him. Say amen. That's right. I didn't do it, but that's all right. Lord, make me more sincere. That's right. You can do this in me. A few moments, I heard a clock go off and the wife getting ready. The children, you know how it is, I guess, at your house. One, what am I going to wear today, Mama? And where are my books? And what did I do? And, you know, and you just, like at any home, you can't hear yourself think hardly for all of them trying to get ready at once. And so I slipped off into the den room and I got down on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, I don't know these things. And what must I do? And the children will be calling me to take them to school in a few moments. What must I do? And I looked around and my Bible was laying there. And I said, Lord, if you will forgive me. I don't believe in just opening up the Scripture, you taking something out of the Bible and saying that. But there is times when God can comfort you by such a thing. He's talking about just going and opening it and say, Lord, He does that sometimes. I don't think we should do it like a slot machine is what He's saying. And I said, Lord, in this case of emergency right now, before your spirit leaves me, and I don't know what to do, the kids will be an hour yet, but before they'd be gone, would you just show me? If that was something you're trying to get to me, Heavenly Father, then let me know. And I took the Bible and just pulled it open like that. And my thumb was laying at 1 Corinthians the 5th chapter, the 8th verse, when something reads something like this. When you come, I was planning on taking a fast to the Lord. I told Him I'd go out and fast. Said, when you come to this feast, which a fast in the body is a feast with the Lord. We know that. So when you come to this feast, don't come with the old leaven of the leaven of malice and so forth, but come with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Just exactly what He told me in the vision. Come, God is my solemn judge. Come with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That is the Word. Then I seen what He meant. See, it wasn't that Brother Branham wasn't going to fast. Brother Branham wanted to fast. I think some of us fall short right there. We never even get that inkling to fast when I think we ought to. Jesus was trying, they were trying to cast out devils. I'll put this away so I'm not tempted no more. Jesus was trying, remember the disciples were trying to cast out a devil and they couldn't do anything about it. And what did Jesus tell them? It's because of your unbelief. Because, why do you got all this unbelief in your experience? Because this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. Amen. That you're too much in the way right now, brothers. You got to get out of the way. And sometimes God calls us to fast. And Brother Branham was feeling he was going to take a fast. But what did he do? He forgot to bring the sincerity with it. We can do that at times. We can do it religiously. And I'll tell you right now, you'll probably get a headache and be sick the next day. If you just do it religiously, I'm just going to fast today. Well, get ready for it because that ain't what he wants. It's something moves on you. And you say, Lord, I love you and I'm trying to get out of the way and I just feel like I ought to fast. Why? Sincerity. Fast and prayer, too. It's not just fasting. Fast and prayer. I'm here to be sincere, Lord. I'm here to get closer to you. I'm not trying to just be super spiritual and feel good about myself. I want you to feel good. I want you to know I love you. I want to help my brother out there. And if I'm in the way, I can't help him. And that's what Brother Ramsey, you know, to use his power, you've got to be more sincere. You've got to get out of the way. Not take your own thoughts to these things, but just believe me. And I believe that's why his ministry just skyrockets after this point. Absolutely, to where God could bring seven angels. God could show him the revelation of the seven seals and him spend all day for a week by himself. To where even he's trying to answer the questions, the answers in the seals. How many hears the tape? And he says, God is my witness. I've almost keeled over this pulpit three times this morning. And he kept on doing it, kept on doing it. And people wonder why. Maybe some things maybe he said that this way or that this way. You ever been that tired and try to preach something off somebody's question and you never even talked to the person about the question and you've got a whole stack of them like this and everybody's expecting you to get to theirs or they're going to be mad at you? He's still a human being. That's why I think it's even that sermon. He says that, if that bit, whatever, some man was talking about some doctor, I'd twist him in a knot so bad he'd never get out. And he said, the Lord didn't like that. He said, I'm sorry. He answered a question wrong. What did the Holy Spirit do? I mean, knows it. He tried. He said, no, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Why? He was to the point of sincerity. Come on now. Had he not been before, maybe before this vision, he'd just blown over and said, no, not a big deal. But God prepared him and said, wait, I felt a check. I'm not going forward. We're not advancing until we know what's wrong. That's what Joshua should have done before they went over there and got 16 souls killed. They should have checked up first and said, something wrong. Huh. God help us as we build up as Christians. We're getting built. How many is? How many even? My goodness, and I'm sorry I preached patience at you. I am. I know what happens after that. Every trial in the world to get patience is showing up. Isn't that right? But we got to be this. And I want to. I want the coming of the Lord to come. And I know it's not waiting on the governments. That's done. It's not waiting on Obama to ruin it so bad it blows up. It's waiting on the bride to be ready.
Amen.
And we will be what we ought to be in that word. We will be the sons and daughters of God. Walking in all these things that we're building up here. Hallelujah. How many believe that tonight? Let's stand together. We got to sing Make Me More Like Thee. If you can find that, Dad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Actually, I might have the number. Let me see. It's 202. Hallelujah. Can we take some time to worship Him tonight? Thank you, Jesus.
Full of joy. Thank you, Lord.
May
I believe in the Word. It's not a hopeless goal. It's something you predestinated me to, Lord. Believe it now, brother, sister. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, just praise Him like it's a finished work. Oh, give me a heart that's filled with love and make me more like Thee. As Dad plays it soft, let's bow our heads together tonight. As I believe you're already doing, you feel that just reconsecration in the building tonight. Would you just like to make a declaration to the Lord Jesus? Let's bow our heads together and say, Lord, behind this hand, behind these hands are my heart tonight. And I've noticed, I recognize my lack of sincerity. I see where I'm just not putting my whole heart into my Christian experience anymore. I've been giving it to this thing or that pleasure or just something of the world. Lord, I'm here tonight to give it back to the Word. God bless you. Believe it now. Let the Holy Spirit that's here restore you, brother, sister. You say restore, that's the end time evangelism. God promised to restore you because you were always that. Hallelujah. Receive it now. And as you begin to receive it, go ahead and praise Him and thank Him for it. Say, Lord, I thank you. I feel that burden leaving. I see that my eyes are coming back together. It's focusing on the Word again. It's focusing on the mission you've called me to do. And you just at home, sis. Somebody's got to be there preaching the Word. Hallelujah. He's got you on the job, brother. He needs a witness out there. Say, Lord, I put my heart into you. That's why the Bible tells men to work as unto the Lord. So that way on the job you can be that witness. Hallelujah. You're a son. Be that son that'll be a witness when the sinners come by and says, my, what a well-mannered son. What a well-mannered boy. Look how he listens. Look how he respects. Hallelujah. Look how sincere they are in this house about their religion. That'll speak volumes. A lot more than handing tapes. A lot more than trying to preach sermons at people. That life that's lived for God. Hallelujah. God restore you tonight to that joy, to that peace, to that love that's in your heart. And let it come out on your life. God bless each one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I believe you're Christians tonight, so I don't feel to have an altar call of that sort. But we're just getting all the nonsense out of our experience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How do I do that, brother? By faith. Lord, you see where I've been unsincere, but I'm asking you to forgive me tonight. And I'm praying that the same Holy Ghost that converted me in the first place would now bring me to this work of grace in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That I wouldn't just pray out of ritual or because I have to, but something's moving on the inside. Something that believes the Word, that knows if I get down and believe for my brother, something's going to happen. The sinner man, something's going to change. I can do something. I can find that mama in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, brother, sister. Hallelujah. I believe it's fulfilling His Word tonight. Thank you, Lord. I will restore, saith the Lord. Praise His name. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take some time to worship Him and thank Him for what He's done for us. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we pray that your Spirit would cut us and mold us. May that stone mason make us stones fit for the master's use, used in the body of Christ. I pray for each one that's here that they wouldn't walk less of their privilege in Christ. They'd walk as the full stature of a son or daughter of God. Grant each one tonight by your Spirit. I know you're faithful. I know you will and you are right now as we speak the words. Because you're still here with us. Fulfilling everyone's here tonight. Those that couldn't, I pray that we would, as the Christians, Lord, would be binding the mamas that's attacking your children, Lord, and you be glorified, not to exalt us, but to exalt that name we love, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant to each Christian tonight, may they take this message the right way, may it be brought by revelation, that it would get down into their souls, and it would begin to live out of their lives. Lord, may it be built in every soul by the promise of God, that, Lord, that we're not trying to build something you didn't already say was going to happen, but you promised it to us, Lord. We pray that our faith would hold to that promise, that you make us exactly like you. You said back in Paul's day that we would see in a glass darkly, but you prophesied in this day we'd see the Son of God face to face, because the same Son of God that lived on earth, that raised the third day, that sat on the right hand of the Father, is now being manifested in our life to the such a way, Lord, it's the exact same God. Lord, let us believe that, and that this message restored us back to that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let each one's faith, just even now as we say these things, may it reach up to heaven and grab a hold. And may the power of God lead that soul up into heavenly places. I ask it to be so tonight, in that name that is truly above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now let's just yield ourselves to the spirit of worship, praise, and adoration. Don't be in a hurry. It ain't too late just yet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you feel led to sing, to pray, to worship, just give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Mine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the it now. Thank you, Lord.
Hold me and make me after Thy will while I am waiting. Yield it.
Believe it now, Christians. Thank you, Lord. Oh, have Thine. Thank you, Jesus.
Way, Lord, have Thine own way.
Search me and try.
Master of the day. Search me and try me.
Snow, Lord, grant it, Father.
Oh, wider than snow.
Wash me just now.
Oh, wash me just now.
The blood that's set to keep you clean. Hallelujah. As in Thy presence.
As in Thy presence.
I humbly I bow. Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
I bow. Yes, Lord Jesus. Have your way tonight, Lord.
Oh, have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way.
Wounded and weary, here, help me, I pray.
Wounded.
Believe it. Power, all power.
Oh, power, all power.
Surely is Thine.
Word is surely is Thine.
Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Oh, touch me and heal me.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Savior divine.
Don't you love His presence tonight? Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, have
we preach You, Lord. We praise You tonight, Lord. Just have Your way in our lives.
Oh, have Thine own way.
Hold o'er my being absolute sway.
And hold o'er my being and absolute sway.
Fill with Thy Spirit. Yes, Lord.
Filled with Thy Spirit.
Till all shall see.
Hear it. Till all shall see
Christ only always living in me.
And Christ only.
Oh, is that your desire tonight?
And living in me.
Sing that first verse one last time. Every eye closed, every hand closed.